It's the CougarFan.com Rising Shop Podcast, episode 228. I'm your host, Adam Mangum. Brandon Gurney of the Deseret News joins us to discuss men's hoops and details what we learned and didn't learn from the spring scrimmage. Matt and I then converse about BYU NFL Pro Day, the spring scrimmage, and we finish up previewing the NIT matchup with Valparaiso. This is the CougarFan.com Rising Shop Podcast. Get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Follow us on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout, on Facebook at Facebook.com/RiseAndShout, and listen to us right now. Welcoming back to the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast, Brandon Gurney of the Deseret News. Brandon, welcome back to the podcast.
Always good to be with you.
So let's start off with a question that I got on Twitter. This is from Brian Taylor at Boozer Taylor on Twitter. He asks, who do you guys think you see as the starting five for next year in hoops? He's already getting us, Brian is getting us started on next year, Brandon. He has Emery, Haas, Mika, and I think Dastrup was in there, and Elijah Bryant, I think is who he had as his five, and Chapman, Hartsock, and Davis. I think he's missing a few guys that might be in that rotation. Any like early thoughts? I think I might have asked you a similar question last time we were on, but you know that was a month and a half ago, so who knows?
Yeah, it's hard to know. I think the inclination of most fans, and maybe media even, is to maybe overrate what the newcomers are going to bring in. I mean, granted, these newcomers are very, very promising. But starting out, Haas would be a guy I'd be very comfortable stating would be a starter next year, just based on what I know about him and having covered him quite extensively in high school and the fact that he's a Haas. the big guys, I really don't know as much about Peyton Dash, but I know he's a wonderful prospect. I did see him a few times, a very skilled big man. But to start out the season, T.J. Haas would be the only one I'd feel comfortable as maybe prognosticating that for. I don't even know if he'll be that guy. What's interesting with T.J. is you like to compare him with Nick Emery, and you obviously look at what Nick Emery did this year, and it's phenomenal. And all throughout, through AAU coaches, my own observations, and just coaches while we're staying, the thought was that as amazing of a prospect as Nick Emery is, T.J. Haas is actually the better prospect. But with Nick Emery, you have to take into account how much time he was able to acclimate himself to the system, just being back almost a full year, more than a full year, but before he actually played, just due to his illness. He had to come back from the mission service early. T.J. Haas, I believe, comes back next week. We should be plenty of time to acclimate himself, but I don't know if you're just going to see that sudden impact instantly with him as you did with Nick Emery. If you do, I won't be surprised at all, just because I know how amazing of a player he is and how hardworking he is. But as far as Peyton Dastrup, I don't know. I have no idea what you're going to see from him. A very skilled big man, but we'll see. He's going to have to battle some guys. A lot of people just want to take a guy like Kyle Davis and just, the new guys are coming in, you know, go to the end of the bench. But I think Kyle Davis is going to have some say on who's going to start. And if Corbin Cafusi sticks around, there's been a lot of talk of him going back to football. But if he stays with basketball, I think he could surely make some marked improvements to lock down the spot there, and then not to mention Eric Mika. So it's going to be a lot of options, lot of exciting options. And we'll just see what these guys have when they come back. But as far as just prognosticating any certain guy to start over another until they practice, it's kind of a shaky prospect. But
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, it certainly
should be a lot of fun.
It certainly is. This is a team that's going to have a lot of talent going forward. That certainly it'll be a fun team to watch. Well, let's talk about this year's team because they still got at least one game left, hopefully two. What do you think is going to be the difference? Obviously, at home, they have these home games. The shooting, the three-point shooting, for the most part, was there. What do you think is going to be the big difference maker for them in New York when they're not playing in the friendly confines of the Marriott Center and against Valpo and whoever wins out of if they make it to the finals against George Washington and San Diego State, they're going to have to beat two really good teams to get to win the NIT.
Yeah, I want to say they just have to make their shots, but that's so easy. Everyone comes down with it. B-Wade's making his three-pointers. They'll win, not they'll lose. But I want to point out Kyle Davis. I thought he was a real impact in B-Wade's last win, and I think he really opened up some things. So I'd say he needs to continue with that and just become a presence that they had to respect on the down low. You didn't see that a lot from Kyle Davis late in the year. But in the one against Creighton, I think he really established himself as a real threat down low, and I think that opened up a lot of things for the offense. So I look at Kyle Davis as a guy needing to have a big game. And Chase Fisher, yeah, you'd like to see the senior step up, and obviously Kyle Collinsworth as well, but I think you know what you're going to get from Kyle Collinsworth. I don't think he's a question mark in many games. I think he's going to come back very strong off his sickness, and you hope to see that from Chase Fisher as well. And obviously Nick Emery, he's just getting more and more comfortable with every game. I think he could say the same with Zach Selyus. But it will be interesting to see how BYU's hot play of late translates away from the Marriott Center. We've seen this team, and I don't know if they're over the hiccups to teams like Pacific or Portland quite yet. And obviously, Valparaiso is a far better team than those two, but we'll see. It's kind of hard to prognosticate anything with this team all season long, and I think it's you kind of take that same mentality going into tomorrow night's game.
Yeah, that's certainly true, because I think we've all had those moments where we've thought, wow, this team is good. They could make a run in the NCAA, and then a week later feel like, man, this team is just doesn't gel. But like you said, they've had moments of both. Let's switch to football. There was a spring football game this past Saturday. A lot of players didn't suit up, especially on the defensive side, some of the better players. So Brandon, knowing that, of course, Taysom Hill was not a participant, and knowing that there were a lot of players that weren't, what did we learn on Saturday that maybe we didn't know from the exposure you guys had to practice before that?
Almost nothing. And I think that's completely by design. I know that is. It's kind of funny. They usually have observation period for a half hour of practice every practice session. And every year it's been the last half hour. And there's a lot to see. There's 11-on-11 work and some skelly work. And you're able to get a sense of that team. Now the observation period is the first half hour of practice, basically when there's absolutely nothing to see except guys doing jumping jacks and warming up. So they're playing it very close to the vest. Very, very vanilla. I was honestly surprised that it was more vanilla than I anticipated going in. But Rita Maya gave the best quote of it. We're not practicing to show well in March or April. We're practicing to show well in August and September. And you look at this staff has one opportunity to use that to its advantage. And the first two games of the coming year are absolutely enormous. Arizona, you want to get off on that. And I feel that should be winnable games for them. But then the second game, they could change the entire narrative of BYU versus Utah with one win there. Bronco stays, and it's just like, oh, Bronco finally beat Utah. Oh, yeah. But Kalani beats Utah. Wow, it's changed. There's a new sheriff in town. That's an enormous game. And that's not lost on the coaches. I believe with what's behind those first two games, they're so important. And you got to take every advantage you can and use it. And we're seeing that in spring, and I think they're going to be just as close in fall. To where I've covered this team, I don't know, 12 years now. I know less about the personnel and the schemes than I've ever known. It's almost embarrassing to think how little I know about what's going on, but it's completely by design, and it should pay dividends.
Yeah, I think a lot of fans who were there made a lot of assumptions based on what they saw, but I'm with you. I think I'd hold those assumptions to be pretty flexible at this point. One of the things, of course, that everyone's going to talk about is the backfield. Jamal Williams coming back, Squally Canada, Bert. I mean, this is a talented group of running backs. What do you expect to see? And is at this point one of those fool's errands to project? Or do you think it's Jamal Williams is the focus back and then it's kind of the get your carries from there? Or do you think at this point it could be more like by committee like some college programs do it?
Well, Jamal Williams is back to being Jamal Williams, which you assume he is. I don't see how you don't give him at least 15 touches per game. He's that good. He's just one of those guys that seems to get more yardage with every run than he probably should. And he's instinctive. He's quick. I'm a big fan of Jamal Williams. I like his story. I like that he came back. And I think Algernon Brown continues to be one of the most underrated players in BYU's program. I believe when he's healthy, he's as good as most bruising backs BYU's had. You remember Fui Vakapuna when he was fully healthy. He's definitely as good as that talent-wise, a Fahu Tahi. And I think this new system is going to be very, very good for Algernon Brown. I think he can play kind of a hybrid fullback, running back type guy. From what they're saying, they're going to be in a pro set. So I think you'll probably see Jamal Williams and Algernon Brown in the backfield quite a bit. And yeah, rely on those guys. Those are two very big talents, and we haven't even gotten to Riley Byrd. And one thing I did think I learned in the spring game, where there wasn't much to learn at all, was it's probably Canada can play. He's got some good bursts through the line. He looked pretty lively. I think he's someone that's going to push for playing time. It's so crowded. It's kind of hard to see how you could give him more than 10 touches per game. I don't see how you can with the talent that's at running back, but it's definitely the strong suit for BYU heading into the season, other than the quarterback position.
And one more football question. The pro day happened here last week as well. So the Cougars, they're trying for the pros. Surprise or not surprise that Mitch Matthews outran Devon Blackman in all of the drills? Because when I saw the numbers, I was a little surprised. But maybe that's because Williams is because Matthews is fully healthy and or not. Or has this been maybe we just didn't realize how quick Matthews was? Now, I mean, these weren't world burning times, but for a wide receiver his size, they were pretty decent times.
Yeah. He has a good trainer, and that's his mother. She's a former track athlete. And you look back at what Marcus did, his older brother, a couple of years ago at Pro Day, he did the same thing. He surpassed expectations, had everyone saying, wow. And Mitch has always been the superior athlete of the two. So that performance, if we're to believe the 4.35 40, which was alleged, I think he said he ran a 4.38. He ran really fast, but still that time with his 6.6 frame, if that's truly what he ran and what scouts had him as, it's hard to see him not being drafted, because that's unreal. That is an unreal time running back. And I dare say he was at least a sub 4.5 guy based on what I saw, that which should be fast enough. He did himself a lot of good with those workouts. He was prepared, and he was far and away the story of Pro Day. I thought he looked exceptional, and when you have that size and that speed combination, I think teams give you a chance. Coming out press man coverage, that's going to be the thing scouts probably harp on, because he never showed to do that effectively well at BYU, and that's a big thing in the NFL, because that's what the NFL runs by and large. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. It'd be great for BYU if it was able to get at least two guys drafted. You know, Bronson Kafusi's going to get drafted, but beyond that, you really don't know. And if Mitch Matthews sneak into those late rounds, that'd be a good thing for the program.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Brandon, thank you for coming on. We'll, of course, encourage all of our listeners to follow your coverage of the Cougars at the Des News, and we'll have you on again sometime soon.
Awesome. Always love talking to you.
CougarFan.com, Rise and Shout podcast. Matt, there's a couple of things we got to get out of the way right away. Number one, my secret location is scenic Plainview, Texas.
Wow, Plainview, huh?
Yes, yes.
How's that working out for you?
Well, not well. So as you probably already heard, if you listened to the interview with Brandon Gurney, the quality of the sound is not up to our usual standards. The Wi-Fi here basically is terrible. So my solution, because the Skype, which we usually use, the Skype, do I have to put the in front of it? That's not right.
Not only do you not have to, I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to.
Okay, all right. So Skype is not working because the Wi-Fi at this hotel is terrible. So instead, I'm doing the interviews through my phone and then recording them using a program on my computer.
Sounds pretty terrible.
I don't have to listen to it. It's not like I listen to the show.
We actually are recording this stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you and I were just getting together to talk about BYU sports once a week.
Hey, you know it's being recorded because your wife, she asked us another question.
Her Facebook bag question game is on fleek.
It's face bag, I think is what we're calling it.
Face bag.
Face bag. And we'll get to another face bag question later. But this one is, Matt, I can answer this very quickly for me, but I'll give you a first shot at it. Red Vines versus Twizzlers, go.
Who cares?
What?
Twizzlers.
Twizzlers?
Licorice is licorice to me. I know you don't feel this way.
Oh my
gosh. I know you're going to lose your mind. And she will too. Because I think she has an opinion like yours. But licorice is licorice.
I feel like I don't even know you. That's disgusting. Red Vines are clearly the superior. Okay? And if you've ever done this before, there's a reason why in that famous Saturday Night Live rap song, they say Red Vines plus Mr. Pibb equals crazy delicious. If you've ever if you've ever had a drink of Dr. Pepper or Mr. Pibb through a Red Vine, it's pretty good.
Is it crazy delicious?
It's crazy delicious.
See, I think my wife feels the same way about Red Vines as you do.
Yeah, well, that's because you married up.
I think at some point in my lifetime, I have, for each of you, gifted you like one of those large canisters of Red Vines.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have.
Yeah. Yep. Only the best for my wife. Only the best.
That's right. That's right. You're a model American. So, Matt, speaking of being a model American, I am pretty sure that you saw Batman vs. Superman before I did.
I think I did. So I saw it at 8:30 my time Saturday night.
Oh, no, never mind. Then we were in the theater at the same time, but I was a little bit ahead of you. I was a little bit ahead of you. I think I misunderstood your text, so I thought you were a little earlier. But, Matt, you saw a movie on opening weekend.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting.
Wow. Wow, that's pretty good. We will not talk any details here. We don't do spoilers. But, Matt, on a scale of 1 to 10, or, heck, let's do the 0 to Detmer scale, how well did you like Batman versus Superman?
Kevin Federick, a little bit better than Kevin Federick. I mean, it was good. I enjoyed it. But it didn't blow my mind.
Wow, you just really kind of buzzkilled this segment.
Kevin Federick's not a negative thing. We won a lot of games with Kevin Federick.
That's true. I think
that was some fun football to watch. In the Mountain West Conference. I mean, Kevin Federick gets a little bit of a bad rap.
I think you and I are higher on Kevin Federick than most BYU fans. I will say I was Jason Beck, Max Hall. For Batman vs. Superman. I liked it. I thought Batfleck was really good. I thought he did an awesome job.
Oh, I think Affleck did a great job.
I think the best parts of the movie were Batman.
I love that Batman character. I think that there's some work there that they could do around that. I think that could be a fun thing to explore.
Yes. Rumors of a solo movie in 2020 or sooner.
I would totally see it. Now, is this movie going to win Best Picture or something? No. I don't go into movies like this expecting that. I go into a movie like this expecting to be entertained on that comic booky type of level, and it delivered.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It was a fun movie. When it comes out later, when I can watch it at home, I will.
Yeah, I will probably see it in the theater again and then watch it at home. But did you see the trailer for the Batman Lego movie?
I did not.
You guys didn't get that shown in front of yours, or did you not get there early enough?
I don't remember a Batman Lego movie trailer.
Oh, you'd remember.
We were there for the trailers.
Yeah, you'd remember that. That looks awesome, by the way. I took a test today online, one of those,
Sonus.
I am 94% nerd.
I think you should take the test again. That seems low to me.
You're ridiculous. You're probably a bigger nerd than you think you are, jerk.
What types of questions were they asking?
You know, have you read and seen all of The Lord of the Rings? Yes.
Is that worth a lot of points?
I don't know. They didn't reveal the scoring. Game of Thrones, comic books. What were some of the other questions? They asked if you ever got called for help with homework in high school or college. I know for you the answer was no.
Well, no, college counts?
Maybe, if you want to count grad school when you finally actually started paying attention.
Normal college would count. After I got married?
I guess that's true.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, look at you. Pat on the back. Look, I was 22 and I finally figured out how to go to school. That's impressive.
Does it really matter when you figure out how to go to school?
No, I guess it doesn't. So, Matt, before we move on to BYU stuff, the Final Four, my bracket is shot. Yours is shot. So out of the four teams left, and we're recording this on Monday night, who do you got?
I don't even know anymore. I feel so lost and confused.
North Carolina, easy. They haven't even played a close game yet.
You know what, though? I kind of want to take I kind of want to take Syracuse.
Their defense has been quite good. They looked – that comeback against Gonzaga and against Virginia was pretty impressive.
I felt like Virginia kind of fell apart.
Yeah, but you have to be there to seize the opportunity, right? They made the shots. Yep. But, yeah, you're right. UVA made some mistakes that if they just don't make those, they win. And that's, you know, right at the end of the game too, which stinks if you're a Cavaliers fan. You know, maybe Bronco was crying. I don't know. They didn't show pictures of him.
He wasn't in the student section?
I don't believe so. I don't believe Bronco was in the student section, but I can neither confirm nor deny that.
Yeah, you know, I really don't have Syracuse. I have Oklahoma.
I would love to see Oklahoma. I love Buddy.
I think it's Oklahoma.
I love Buddy. He's awesome. I'm really hoping, you know, the Celtics have like 18 draft picks this year, and including a lottery pick of the Nets, I believe.
One of those has got to pan out.
And what about Buddy falling to them and being in Celtic Green next year, huh?
That'd be pretty neat.
I'd like it. Right next to LeBron after he leaves the Cavaliers again.
Did you see that picture of LeBron wearing a Red Sox hat?
No, I didn't see that.
You didn't see this?
No. He's not a Red Sox fan.
No, but he did that when he was talking about going to New York. He started wearing a Yankees cap around.
I know, but he didn't even go into New York. It's just a tease.
I'm just kidding. There was no picture of wearing a Red Sox hat. I'm just trying to see if you'd bite.
I'm not going to bite. I know you too well. So, Matt, let's move on to CougarFan.com. Cougars in the news.
Cougars in the news!
As a reminder, get all of your Cougar sports news at CougarFan.com. Number 24 baseball took 2 of 3 from Loyola Marymount. Next up is a road trip to Portland. They're 13-11. They're looking good. They're still looking good, Matt.
Let's go get them.
And a friend of the podcast, Spencer Litton, covers those games when they broadcast them on BYU TV. They're doing a good job with their coverage so far this season. I've watched a little bit of a couple of games, which has been really nice. I miss and love baseball. Men's volleyball sweeps UC San Diego, but really what's everyone's waiting for is this weekend against number one UCLA on the road. Unfortunately, unless you have the Pac-12 network, you can't see these matches.
They've got their own network now?
Not really.
The Pac-12's really growing up.
I had a Twitter fight with Pac-12 when I made fun of them for I had to watch a game in standard definition.
Oh, I saw this.
And they're like, "Well, we do produce them in high definition." Well, if no one can see them in high definition, I'm not sure that it really matters that you produce them.
And if it's not available, what do you have? DirecTV?
No, I have Comcast.
Do you have cable?
I have Comcast.
Oh. Well, but if it's not available on one of these large service providers, guess what, folks? You're wasting your money on the HD broadcast.
Yes, you are. So I'm glad they're producing it in high quality. Hey, Matt, that reminds me, do you have a problem with some of the women's tournament games? ESPN is saving money by having them call it in studio. Does that bother you at all?
I think that's kind of lame.
Doesn't bother me.
You gotta call the game.
Doesn't bother me.
You gotta call the game from the game.
And lose money.
Well,
though the women's ratings, to be fair, the women's ratings are up this year versus the last couple years.
You're talking about flying two broadcasters out there and put them in a hotel for a couple nights?
Do you know what their margins are on some of those women's sports? Like, zero. So every dollar you spend is just dollars that are gone. I don't know. I'm kind of with you. It's bugged me a couple times because BYU had a game early in the year, right? That was on ESPN but called from a studio. And you can tell because they don't bring in anything from what's like happening there, right? Even without a sideline. But anyway, non sequitur there. Matt, Lexi Eaton-Rydalch was named a honorable mention All-American. Congratulations to Lexi. Great career at BYU.
Awesome.
So, Matt, the pro day, before we get into the spring football. Oh, I was going to mention this up front. We are going to save the NIT preview for the end of this podcast. So that way, if it's past Tuesday night, you can still listen to this and get all the great other stuff that we cover. So all the NIT men's basketball stuff will be at the end. Matt, BYU had their pro day for NFL potentials. You can see, some scouts have commented on some of that. Terrence Houck was mentioned by one Browns blog as a potential as a tight end for the Browns, which I think fits with his skill set and his size. He could maybe make that transition. But Matt, the big story to me was Mitch Matthews beat Devon Blackman in every speed drill.
Good. Yeah, that's pretty surprising.
Good news for Mitch Matthews. Maybe not as good for Mr. Blackman, who I always thought was kind of a long shot to get. I mean, maybe he gets a free agent invite to it, but I think that's not likely. He's going to be playing much in the NFL next year. Matt, does this change your mind? We have said we didn't think Matthews would get drafted. Do you think his strong showing at the pro day makes him a potential that somebody, after seeing that, is going to say, I got to snag him in the sixth or seventh because I don't want to have to take the chance that I don't want to have to bid on when free agency comes?
I don't think he's made that kind of a splash.
I don't know. At his size?
I don't know. What gap does this information really fill in for him?
Speed. I mean, if you look at his tape and you told me he was a 4-4 guy, I would have said no, but he did it. So he is.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's one of the knocks on him has been, well, he's just not fast enough. But if he's 4-4, he's fast enough. That's not an issue.
I think the big knock against him is getting off the line of scrimmage if he gets jammed.
It's almost as if you listen to Brandon Gurney talk, which you didn't, by the way.
And you can't, no, I have not yet, but the unfortunate part for that, for him, is there's no way to prove that he's improved that.
No, but the speed, I mean, you know how it is. The NFL, they love speed. And that can get a team to take a flyer on you even when the tape isn't necessarily in your favor.
So you just got to hope they look and they say, oh, a 6'10 guy with speed, we got to move on this.
6'10? He's not 6'10, but...
Was he 7'4"?
I think he's 6'6", but yeah. I still think his best chance at staying in the pros long term was to bulk up, which he has done some. There was a picture on Twitter, that he looks pretty big. It looks like he has put on some bulk and some weight since the end of the season. But he seems to be saying he wants to be a wide receiver, which... I hope he proves me wrong and ends up with a career, because it'd be fun to watch him coming up. Matt, other than that, I don't think – I mean, hope maybe if the Browns really are legitimately into him, I think it's really Matthews or nobody, and then a few of them will sign free agent contracts. What are your thoughts?
You know, I think that a couple of these guys might bounce in. I think that I feel like Mitch might be the best shot. The stuff with Terrence Houck is intriguing, but not real promising. And let's be honest, it's the Browns.
What are you talking about? They got RG3 coming.
It's still Browns. And yeah. That's not making me feel any better.
No, nor should it actually make you feel any better. Well, Matt, let's get to some football that BYU fans care about. 18,000 fans, Matt. 18,000 fans showed up to watch the spring game. I believe that's more than attended Wagner.
I think that might be more than attend Wagner.
Oh, good point. Good point. And more than some of the Marriott Center crowds this year. I mean, what is that? Does that mean anything, or is that just new coaching change? Everybody's excited, and BYU fans will go back to their pessimistic selves come next year.
Well, before I answer that question, it is way more than attends Wagner College.
All right. How many attend Wagner? Like 5,000?
Wagner College has an enrollment of approximately 2,500 total students.
Holy cow, there are high schools in Utah bigger than that.
So, yeah, there they are, Wagner Seahawks, 2,500 students.
I bet you there's high schools in, are there high schools in Houston bigger than that, where you're at?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
We're both doing this from Texas, but we might as well be on different states, continents, really. West Texas and, like, Houston area, they're like different planets.
You're on another planet. Yeah. You're on another planet.
It's totally different. So Matt, let's talk about what did we learn. Over under average touches this season for Jamal Williams. I'm going to set the over under at 15.5.
That's a terrible one. Over.
I'm going to say over. I think he's going to be the feature back, and I think he's going to get upwards to say 18 or 19 touches a game.
I absolutely agree. I think they're going to be throwing the ball a little bit out of the backfield. I think moving the quarterback up under center is going to open things up in the run game. And for right now, I think we have to assume, because there's no data otherwise, I think you assume that Tanner's the guy.
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
In that case, I think there's more running plays to go Jamal's way.
Yep. Over under number of touches per game for Squally Canada, 9.5.
I'm probably going to take the under there.
Yeah, I'm going to – if we're going over on the and we're saying 18 to 19, both of us for Jamal, I think you have to go under on Squally. But he looked good, is what all the reports. Of course, you and I weren't there, so I'm just
depending on Twitter. Well, I did, thanks to a couple of Twitter folk, I was able to follow a decent portion of the spring scrimmage via Periscope.
Yes, I did.
Maybe we shouldn't talk about that, but I didn't get it on Periscope.
I did not do that because I fear it may be illegal. But if I had, Matt, some of the plays were pretty good on offense. Brian Taylor, that's at Boozer Taylor on Twitter with our first official tweet bag question.
Tweet bag.
He asked, with that talented stable of running backs we have behind Jamal, is Jamal still the feature back, or is it going to be by committee? I think we both say he's the feature back.
Jamal's the feature back. Have you looked at the man?
He is a good running back.
He looks like a He-Man figure.
Yeah, he does look like a He-Man figure. Do you think his hips are connected with just some rubber bands?
I don't know. He's a total freak of nature. I think he's going to be really good this fall.
I think he's going to be awesome. Another thing we did not learn, Matt, is tight ends. Everybody played. There's no clear favorite. Is that disappointing, or did you think that was inevitable? We won't really find out who the starter is till they publish a depth chart before the game against Arizona.
I'm going to go ahead and take the glass half full position on this and say that it's good that there wasn't a clear tight end favorite. Because if it had gotten to one this quickly, that means that almost all of them were bad.
There you go.
So the fact that it's still up in the air and they don't know who it is, at least either they're all bad, right? And so they're still trying to work them through, or they're all okay. But if there was one that was decent and the rest of them were awful, I would have hated to be in that situation.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely true. on the defensive side of the ball, Matt, almost no, very few starters played at all. So, I mean, is this just a wash? We didn't learn anything about the defense?
Yeah, I don't think we really learned anything about the defense.
So Gurney brought this up. Jay Drew, when he was on the podcast last time, and others in the media have brought this up. Access for the press has actually been worse this spring as far as getting to see players play. Brandon put it this way. He says, we know almost nothing. Matt, do you think that is the truth? Because if you read Twitter, a lot of fans made a lot of assumptions about this team based on that scrimmage. Brandon and other media members I've talked to have said, don't make any assumptions. They are not showing us anything that matters.
I don't think they're showing us anything that matters. And right now, I don't know that I would want them to. Why would you give any of this stuff up? And I'm flipping my position on the spring game. We've talked about this a lot, and I've said, oh, we got to make this thing happen. Let's get this thing televised. But you know, I got into a short Twitter exchange about this last weekend, and you know, now that I think about it, I understand why they're not televising it, and I support it.
Yeah,
I don't think you'd want to. Why play those cards? Why give that stuff up? And you know, and this early, you've got a whole new coaching staff essentially. So you're installing completely new systems. I don't know that you really have enough ready to run in a scrimmage anyway.
Yeah,
you know.
Oh, I hear you. I think I'm with you. I don't think there's any reason to show it. And if you do it, you do it just for PR reasons and similar to what they did there. You're not going to show them, you're not going to show anybody anything, right? You're going to keep it very, very, you're going to keep it very, very close to the vest, if you will. So Matt, we have not done this in a while. We're going to do it rapid fire. This is at the request of my friend Seth. We're going to go through, and I didn't even warn you on this, but you don't need warning.
Love it when you do this.
Yes, I know you do.
I still don't know what we're about to do.
We're going to go through the entire season and predict wins and losses based on what we didn't learn in the spring football game. Do you love it?
Love it.
This is great, right?
I can't wait to do it.
This is how it should be.
And just so everybody's aware, we're going to do this every few weeks.
That's
what we do.
That's what we do, despite the fact that there's no information. And our answers will change.
Oh, sure. With no new information, I will draw a completely different conclusion.
That's right. Absolutely. All right. So, opener against the Wildcats, University of Phoenix Stadium, Glendale, Arizona. I got the Cougars, Matt. Who do you got?
Go Cougs.
All right.
Bear down.
Salt Lake City the next week against the University of Utah. Win for the Cougars.
I'm going with the Cougars there too. I think Kalani's going to spend all summer coaching up for this game.
I am 100%.
He cannot lose this game.
Oh, he does not want to. This will carry extra weight for Kalani. A week later, our journey through the Pac-12 continues at home against the UCLA Bruins. Matt, I'm going to take a loss on that one.
Yeah, I think I'm taking a loss here as well.
The next week at FedEx Field, another game in an NFL stadium, this time against West Virginia. I'm going to take the Cougars in that one.
I think the Cougars beat the Mountaineers.
Yes, I think so too. And we are planning on that being our game we go to this year. But
it's
still
going to be a good one.
Until we finalize those plans. But that's what we have planned as the Rise and Shout Podcast Brothers. The next week is back on a Friday night game against Toledo. That's BYU, right?
Yep.
Though that's a sneaky game right there, by the way. It's a sneaky game sandwiched between two P5 teams. The next one, of course, is October the 8th against Michigan State. I'm pretty sure we get destroyed.
Yeah, that's not going to be pretty.
Mississippi State the next week. I say we lose again.
I'm also predicting a loss against the Bulldogs.
Boise State on the road. I'm going to say it's our third loss in a row.
Oh, man. Not only is this bad news, but we're also on the same page.
Yeah, which is
rare
for
us. Have we disagreed on a single game yet?
We have not. We have been right in line with each other, which is kind of weird and never happens.
All right.
All right. At Cincinnati, BYU wins.
Yes.
SUU, I'm calling the upset. No, I'm not. BYU wins.
Don't be dumb.
UMass, BYU wins. Utah State at home, BYU wins. So, Matt, we both have four losses. UCLA, Michigan State, Mississippi State, and Boise State. I think four losses is kind of the if I gave you over under at 3.5 losses, right? That's kind of where you're at.
Yeah.
You know, this schedule looks hard. I'm not sure how good Mississippi State will be. Michigan State, I'm pretty sure will be very good. I'm a little on Boise State. I think they're going to be better than they were last year. Arizona, I don't know. Utah, they've got some issues with personnel that they're going to have to figure out. And then UCLA, I don't know if they'll be good. I know they'll be overrated, but I don't know if they'll be good.
Well, I think that right now I feel like this team is a 4 or 5 loss team.
Yes.
And when you look at this schedule, much like when we looked at the 2015 schedule a year ago, that schedule was very scary. It was very formidable, right?
Yep.
But not all those teams turned out to be as good as we were expecting them to be. For example, Nebraska.
Yes.
Right?
So Boise State wasn't as good as we thought they would be.
Right. But then we also thought we were going to be competitive against Michigan. And we were not.
Michigan was better than we thought.
So I think there are some surprises in here. I think Boise State probably gets on the list. That's a game we could end up with. Maybe Boise State won't be as good as advertised. Cincinnati, I think, is a team that could surprise us. Toledo, I think, is a team that could surprise us. Utah game is a possible loss.
Yeah.
So of the four losses we've gone through here, I could go through two or three other of these games, and I wouldn't be surprised if we lost them.
We'll be bowl eligible, I believe.
I think we go to a bowl.
I think a two or three loss season is a massive victory with this schedule. If you only lose two or three games, I would say that's exceeding expectations, right?
Do you go to a bowl other than the San Diego County Credit Union Points Media Bowl?
Not unless you only.
That is a mouthful.
Not unless you only lose one.
Yeah, you're probably right.
One or zero, then you've got a chance at the New Year's Eve 6 game. But no, I think even with two losses, even if they're against very good teams, you end up in the poinsettia bowl against an opponent you hopefully stomp and go into 2017 with some momentum. And, you know, that 2017 schedule has – you know, it's got LSU and Utah and Wisconsin to start it. So, I mean, some momentum going into 2017 wouldn't be a terrible thing.
No.
All right, Matt. Well, let's go to men's basketball now.
Oops.
All right. So we're going to have to save a whole episode for this. But Justin D. Sweeney. He asks. Wow, that was an extended Sweeney there.
That was like the zombie version of the Sweeney call.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of weird, actually. You should never do that again. is Kyle Collinsworth a top 5 player? We've been answering this question forever. The only reason I'm going to bring it up, we are not going to do it this week, but we are going to do it soon. We're going to have that debate, and I may even try to find a guest to help us with that. But Matt, he believes he is. A bunch of people responded to him on Twitter and started this whole Twitter conversation with a bunch of folks, and basically what it comes down to is, and that one of the folks that jumped in was Vacaviti on Twitter, saying basically he's second or third team if you just do point guards. The problem with this is everyone they're putting ahead of him as point guards is Jimmer and Danny Ainge, who aren't actually point guards either, right? Like, not in the traditional sense of a point guard. And in the 80s, like, the term point guard kind of started in the late 70s, early 80s. Before that, there were just guards and forwards and centers. So it is a little weird to have Ainge. I would not, if I were putting together the best BYU team of all time, Ainge would not play point. Now, he may bring the ball up most of the time, so maybe I'm this is semantics. I don't think he's a top 5 player. I think you're on record as agreeing with me, right? So we're going to do this in the off season, though, kind of a full examination, and come up with our first and second teams of all time at BYU. Another good question we got was from Justin Whiting at JN Whiting. Way too early, but does Emory need to do what does Emory need to do in the next few years to get a chance at the NBA? Grow an inch?
I think that's a good place to start.
Yeah.
He's got to become a little bit more consistent. He needs to punch less people in the head.
No, I'm not sure that doesn't disqualify him.
okay, well, maybe on the court. But I think that I think consistency is something he'd need to get with.
I think
he's gonna have to. I think
his biggest problem is gonna be defense. He did not. He's a little short, though. They list him at 6'2". I've stood near him. I don't think he's 6'2", but I might be wrong. Stephen Curry is the, kind of the standby now at 6'3" of those, crazy offensive players in the NBA. I'm not saying Emory really projects anywhere near that level, but just saying that, Jimmer was a little undersized and couldn't play and struggled with defense. I think Emory's a better defensive player, but I don't know that he's right now as electric as an offensive player as Jimmer was. So I don't know. Obviously, though, if he can just hit three-pointers consistently and not get embarrassed on defense, you can stick in the NBA. Ask J.J. Redick for a long time.
Yeah, but that, who else does that describe?
A bunch Jimmer of guys.
Fredette. Jimmer Fredette?
No, he couldn't play defense. That's the difference. I think Emory can get to a level defensively where he's not a liability. He may not be an asset, but I think he's got the lateral quickness to do that. He has.
So there's some minimum threshold, you're saying, that
yeah,
you have
yeah.
to meet defensively.
Yes, I think you just can't be the guy. Well, we're no matter who you're guarding, we're now going to run the offense through him because you can't stop him. That's what scouts say about Jimmer, and I think Emory's a better player defensively than that. So, but it's a man. NBA is hard to make, man. It's not easy. And every year there's somebody new. Speaking of Jimmer, we have a facebag question.
Facebag.
This doesn't have the same ring to it.
We can do something else with it.
Johnny Ashton on Twitter says, do you think Jimmer Chance will continue at the Madison Square Garden when BYU plays there? Percent chance there's a Jimmer Chance sometime during the game from BYU fans.
Well, I think what's interesting is if you go here, if Jimmer is at the game, I think you get a Jimmer Chant.
Even if he's not, you get it. Don't you think?
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Just to troll the Knicks. And Kurt Rambis and his wee-beady eyes.
Kurt Rambis isn't going to be at the game.
Doesn't matter. Like fans think all those things through. You're at Madison Square Garden. You got some Dr. Pepper in you. You start chanting Jimmer at halftime.
You're drinking the Dr. Pepper through a red vine, and you're all popped up on
it. Oh, that's gross. That's just gross. That sounds disgusting.
Oh, my gosh.
It's got to be a cola. It's got to be a cola.
Mr. Pibb is the same thing.
As Mountain Dew?
No, as Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, I know. You said Mountain
Dr.
Dew.
Pepper.
No, you said Mountain Dew, you Mountain Dew fiend. I can go
sorry,
back on the
I've
tape.
I've got a little bit, yeah, got a little bit away. Of a Mountain Dew problem.
Yeah, you do.
I'm a little low right now. I've got too much blood in my Mountain Dew system.
Drink some more there, that diet Mountain Dew.
Out of my Patriots cup right here.
There you go. Valparaiso is the opponent, 29-6 this year, 16-2 in the Horizon League. According to sportsreference.com, they had the 67th best offense, the second best defense. Now, granted, they didn't play the toughest schedule. Macy Ratings has them as a top 50 team, which would be another game against a top 50 team for us and a victory if you can get it. Three best players, Matt. One we just got to talk a lot about would be 6'9 junior forward Alec Peters, 19 points, 8 boards a game. He also shoots 85% from the free throw line and is a decent three-point shooter. Matt, this is the guy that BYU is going to have to stop on the offensive side.
Yes, this is the guy.
Yes, this is the guy. If they can't, if a combination of Davis, Kafusi, and Austin can at least slow this guy down, which they've shown mixed times, right? Sometimes they've been good against good bigs, and sometimes they have struggled with foul trouble, so we'll see. Also, 6'1 guard Keith Carter is one of their better players, though not a good free throw shooter.
and 6'10 senior Vasil Fernandez. Only 6 points and 7 boards a game, but 3 blocks a game. He does average almost better field goal than he does free throws, though, so that's another thing to watch out for. Not a great three-point shooting team in general. It's mainly Peters is the three-point shot threat. There are a few other guys that can do it. They won their final 5, Matt, but then Green Bay beat them in the conference tournament. That's one of their worst losses. They also lost to Wright State twice. But their best wins, Oregon State in the non-conference schedule, and then beating St. Mary's and held them to like 44 points.
Yeah, that one was a surprise for me. Going into that game, I didn't expect the Valparaiso to have a shot.
They got a good defense.
I thought St. Mary's had that one locked up.
Yeah, me too. But clearly, Valpo has a heck of a defense. So Matt, what's going to happen in this one? What's your keys against the best defense we've played maybe all year, or at least certainly that we've played since the non-conference schedule?
Well, I think you look at this team. I think it comes down to defensively, are we going to be able to slow down the one player on their team that I think we really have to worry about? And then as long as we can stay consistent and shoot well, you know, we need one or two of those same guys to get hot or even just warm, and I think we're okay here.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, and before the St. Mary's game, if I removed that game from the picture, I'd tell you this is easily a double-digit win for BYU. But after watching what they did to St. Mary's, I don't know. Someone's going to have to get hot in order for that to happen.
So, Matt, I totally agree with you on almost everything. We're agreeing too much today. I may have to just disagree with you on something just on principle.
Happens all the time.
Dick Harmon, a friend of the podcast, Dick Harmon on the Deseret News, says he thinks their best chance is burying shots from the outside. I think that's defined this team all year. I think Dick makes the best point of all, which is if they can knock down a high percentage of their threes, they're going to win. I think it's going to be very hard with Fernandez and Peters to get a lot in the key. I would say this is Emery, Fisher, and Celius's game to win by hitting 3-point shots.
Yeah.
And that's what it'll go. Matt, if they win, let's do predictions. I'm going to call it 72-69 BYU.
72-69, huh?
Yep.
I'm going to go with 70-60 BYU.
70-60, so you think they're a little bit better.
Yep.
Well, we shall see for sure. They will play if they win. We're recording this on Monday night. If they win on Tuesday night, they will play either George Washington or good old friend and foe San Diego State. Which one do you think I'm rooting for?
You love it. You love it. Now, does that mean you're rooting for San Diego State to win a game?
Yes. So that they can lose in humiliating fashion on a nationally televised audience.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what I said.
I think you just need to get over it.
I don't believe I can get over it.
Okay, that's fine too.
So if BYU wins, we will have a short podcast later this week to preview the game against George Washington or San Diego State. If BYU loses, we'll see you next week. Next week, we'll talk about the NIT, whatever the results were. We'll talk more spring football practice. I know we promised our MLB preview. I know we've broken the hearts of maybe 3 or 4 listeners. We will push that off until next week. Matt, I did want to close on a serious note, which we rarely ever do on this podcast, but we're going to do today. Our thoughts and prayers are with Taysom Hill and his family. They lost their brother Dexter this past week. You and I have had similar situations, lost 2 of our brothers, and so our thoughts and prayers go out to the Hill family, and hope they can find some comfort during this difficult time.
Absolutely.
Well, guys, thank you for downloading and listening. We will be back next week. Follow us on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout, on Facebook, facebook.com/RiseAndShout. And as you can see, we had face bag questions. So throw your questions out there. I don't know. Let's see here. We still don't have a Sweeney of Facebook. Johnny
Ashton's
trying.
I'm starting
to worry
that it's going to become my wife.
We can't do that. That's weird. We can do Johnny Ashton. He's now done it twice.
There we go. Here's what Johnny Ashton needs to do. He's got to be, if he can consistently, I think if he gets two more in a row, maybe he's there.
Yeah. There we go. We're setting a standard.
He'll be the biggest face bag of them all.
Matt, get you out on this question. Better movie, Batman vs. Superman or 1989 Batman with Michael Keaton?
Batman vs. Superman. I don't love that Batman. Didn't love that Batman.
Really? With Michael Keaton?
It was good.
That was good. I loved that. You were a wee pup back then.
Yeah, I was just a little guy.
You're probably still bigger than me, but that's not, we're grading on a curve there. So, well, anyway, thanks everybody for downloading, listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars.
I used to rule the world. Seas had rise when I gave the word. Now we're